Amen. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Amen. Good to see your smiling faces this morning. Amen. We are a blessed people. Amen. Because we serve a living and true God who is always with us, never forsake us, always has great blessings in our lives. And so thankful that you're here today. Today is the first year, the first Sunday of 2020, of our new year. So by you being here today, it symbolizes that you want to start your year off right with the Lord and the Lord's house. Amen? Amen. And not that God is any greater here than he is in Israel or greater in Israel than he is here, but God is great where God's people come together in his name, assembled to worship God. That's where the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. People, plural. Where two or three are gathered in his name, that's where he is. So thank you for being here today. And I'm expecting God to do some great things. God is faithful. God is doing great things. God has done great things. He's answered prayer over 2019. He has been with us. He's brought us through some difficult times. Many of you have faced many situations to where you didn't know that there was a way out. God met your need. God exceeded your expectations. He abundantly blessed you. And he's the same God here. 2020, I believe that we're one step closer. As Brother Bob was talking a while ago, I believe that this year is going to be a level of higher growth, greater maturity in God, seeing God's hands work even greater and more miraculous than what we've ever seen in our lives. I believe that. And I believe that as we draw closer to him, just as Bob said, the closer we draw to him, that's where the blessings come. That's where the blessings flow, is out of the Lord himself. And as we draw closer to him, we'll experience all that God has. Amen? Amen. So good to have you in the house of God this morning. Peter and B are here with us. They were here. Let's welcome Peter and B with us this morning. Yeah. Part of the Good News Club, vital part of the Good News Club for years, working with Miss Carolyn Dowdy, and moved away and moved to be closer to their children and grandchildren. But the Lord has brought them back. They'll be with us for the next couple of months. And so we're honored to have Peter and B with us today. Welcome home. Amen. Amen. And a while ago, Miss Pam mentioned, Miss Carolyn mentioned Pam Hoffman. Pam and John Hoffman up in Lawrenceville. And they're still very much a part of us as well. Just so happens that your sister lives in the same town with Pam Hoffman. Isn't that something? But we communicate with them pretty much every week and called us this week. And they were a part of the YouTube video, our service last Sunday. They said how much it blessed them to be part of the family, even out of town, to tune into YouTube to watch the service. And it blessed them and said it was just what they needed. And so, amen, you're a blessing to people that aren't even here. Isn't that awesome? Like Jordan said, God's hand is not short. He's alive in New Zealand today. He's alive in Australia today. He's alive around the world. Amen. We serve a big God, awesome God. And he's worthy of all praise. Amen. Happy New Year to you. There's we have plans for 2020. We have new vision for 2020. Personally, our family, our church, our lives. We have great plans. But did you know that we can't accomplish any of those things unless we draw close to God? Zechariah 4:6 says this. And we'll dig right into the word. Zechariah 4:6 said, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Let's pray together. We'll dig in. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's encouragement, but Lord, it's also meat for our bones to help mature us, to draw closer to you. Lord, to give us vision. Lord, I pray that today being the first day of 2020, God, that we will see you in a greater and a deeper level. God, to serve you, to have ears to hear, a heart to receive and feet to walk it out and to do what you said do. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word today by your spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We were in the process of moving back in October of 2017. The Lord had blessed us to be able to build a home here. So a little over a year ago, we were, 2018. And it's amazing how time just kind of, you just lose track of time when God's in the middle of it, you know. So we were in the process of moving, and I had a dolly that was supposed to help me move some big boxes, and I know I could have called any one of you. I could have Crystal's inside doing some things, but I decided to get this dolly in this huge box that was a lot bigger than the dolly, but I thought it was stable enough to fit on the dolly and to tilt it back and to roll it out. So I knew that I needed help, but I decided I would do it on my own, you know. And has anybody ever done something on your own that you knew you needed help? Amen. Thank you. And so as I lifted up the corner of the box and slid the little narrow shelf of that dolly up underneath the box that was much larger, as I tilted it back, the bottom of the box busted open, mess everywhere, it was everywhere. And so then it was a little more work to bring all that back together into another box to put it all back together and to load it in the trailer. Many times in life we do that very same thing. We come up against something big in our life and we think that we're big enough and smart enough to tackle it. God, I'll call you if I need you. But how many know that just as we read, just right here in Zechariah 4:6, that it's only by the Spirit of God that we can do all things? We can do all things, but it's got to be by the Spirit of God. We do not have it in our ability to do the things that God wants us to do. We do not have it in our ability to fulfill our goals and our purpose in life. We've got to have God's help to do that. Even our strength comes from the Lord. We have a limit on what we can do, but God has no limit on what He can do. He wants to do great things through us this year. Our vision is high. Our hopes are high. Our expectations are high. But we've got to know that we've got to rely on God. There are many of you that are facing different things, different seasons in your life right now as well. And we know personally some of those things. We're talking and working and praying. But God has those great things that He's brought to us, and many wise on the road at some times. Great things that God has put in us to do, desires that we want to see fulfilled. We can do those things, but I want to remind you today as we start this year off with God is that we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without God's help, but we can do all things by the Spirit of God. As He leads us, we can do those things. God intends for us to follow after Him. Many times, even as Jesus was walking this earth, many times we see that Jesus drew people to Him, but many people were there just to see. They weren't necessarily there for their lives to be changed by the power of God. And so we need to be careful that we follow after God so that He changes our life. We allow Him to change our life so that we can fulfill and draw closer to Him. We're much more than just to watch God. We're to participate with Him. Amen. God wants us to experience Him, not to just be on the sidelines. He doesn't want us just to watch. He wants us to participate. He wants us to be part of His kingdom. And God wants us to do that today. So I'm going to give you a biblical principle. I'm going to start a short series by my Spirit today. And I want to start off by giving us some things that we need this year. We need to have some things in our life, need to be intentional about having things in our life so that we can be close to God and follow what He wants us to do by His Spirit. The first thing is to have hope. We need to have hope. Just a few months ago, we were talking to a lady, and Crystal and I, and she was hopeless. She was at a point to where didn't think it was hopeful at all for anything to change. She was at a place that she knew that she needed a miracle, but didn't think that God was there to bring a miracle in her life, and thought that it was hopeless. It was beyond hope. But we need to remember that God is never in a state of hopelessness. And if we follow God and if we receive what He wants to do in our life, we will see that all things are possible through Him. We're to never lose hope in God. Never lose hope in God. And so if we're following God, if we're walking with the Lord, we know that He'll give us the strength. He gives us the hope to push through. Faith is actually born, is processed out of a state of hope. So as we have hope, we see that there's a possibility. We may know that it's limited to us. God, how can I see this thing happen? How can I see this miracle be brought in our life? But as long as we have hope, hope is the beginning of faith. And we know that faith is all that God wants us to have in Him to do what needs to be done. We need to have faith in God. But it begins with hope. If we're at a place of hopelessness, we lose all faith, we lose all hope, we lose all possibilities of God doing anything in our life. And some people are that way today. Why? Because they look at the circumstances and see that the circumstances are limiting the answer. But the answer will not be limited by our ability. The circumstances will be unlimited as we have faith in God, as we have hope in God. He can do everything. Faith is produced out of our hope. We must hold on to hope. And I believe that our hope, we can expect anything from God in 2020. I believe that the further along we go in the Lord, the closer we get to the Lord, we will see that anything is possible with Him. John 4:10, as we see that Jesus met this woman at the well. And this woman could have been hopeless. This woman, much of what she was experiencing at that moment was brought on by her own actions. We know that sometimes our own actions can produce situations in our life that is difficult to work past. But Jesus saw this lady at the well, and this is what he said to her in John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you," there's the key right there, "give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. We can ask anything in God when we have hope. Hope in him. Not hope in our abilities, but hope in him that all things are possible. As I said, 2019, we had many documented miracles, from healing of cancer to marriages and families being put back together, to jobs being just doors open, to lives being changed, for people to be reconciled. There were many, many miracles in 2019, but it all began with hope in God. And our hope in God is stirred up by what? By being in touch with God, by knowing his word. Not memorizing it necessarily, but to know it. Many times we recite things, we say things that we don't understand. Well, he says in 4:10, we've got to know him, know his abilities, know what he can do. And so this lady, who Jesus would have maybe have seen, maybe some of the Christians in the world even during this time would have looked at her and said, well, there's no hope for her. She's beyond help. Has anybody been there? This situation is beyond hope. It's beyond help. There's nothing that can be done in the situation. But Jesus said, know who it is that gives the gift. The gift comes from him. The answer comes from him. No matter how difficult it seems this year, 2020 is to have hope in God. Where hope is present, results will follow. Where hope is present, faith builds and results follow. Many times through our child-rearing career, Jordan and Josh, when they were younger, we were always careful about what we said to them, what we said they were, who we said they were. Sometimes we're in environments where we hear the words like, you're never going to amount to anything, you're rotten, or you're lacking, you're not listening to me, you're not going to amount to anything. And words like that, they go deeper than the eardrum. They actually feed into the spirit, and it grows, that thing grows in their life. And so we need to be careful about what we say in order to produce hope. Hope many times can be stirred up by the words you speak. Hope in the Word of God grows when it's heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. And so this year, be careful not to speak words of doubt. Be careful to speak words of hope, of life. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm just a realist. And I am too. I see things for what they are, but we need to speak things, the Bible says, as though they were. We can be hopeful that things will be better. How does God want that thing to be? How does God want your child to be? God wants your child to be blessed, to be smart, to be the grade A, to be better than average, to be healthy, to be whole. And so we need to be careful to speak the words of hope out of the Word of God, and as we speak those words, it will have an impact on what produces out of that. See, we can't get good fruit out of a garden unless a good seed is planted first. And then that seed must be cultivated. And so it is with the Word of God. As we speak the Word of God, as we speak hope when it's hopeless. You say, well, that is a hopeless situation, Pastor Mike. I'm just saying it for what it is. Well, sometimes we shouldn't say our opinion. Sometimes we need to bite our tongue and say what the Word of God says. And so hope can rise out of what you say or don't say. Do we want to speak doubt? If we see our words, if we could see our words, what I'm speaking to you right now, my breath is invisible. You can't see it, but you hear my words, and those words that I'm speaking right now will have an impact on your life. The words you speak will have an impact on lives. So we need to learn to speak hope. I believe that what we're seeing even in our church today is out of words of hope, is out of words of encouragement. Your words, my words, our words together, it encourages one another to be built up in the faith of God. So as we hear those words of encouragement, as we hear the seeds being planted from the Word of God, it grows. It grows. Now, some people, while I'm here, let me say, some people would say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm just discouraged that our church is not full to capacity. You know what? Don't be discouraged, because there are many people from St. Simon's Christian Rule around the world today that are there because of this church. As I mentioned last Sunday, Pastor Don and Miss Ann. Many seeds have been planted since 1989. Pastor Ligon. This church was planted out of his words. And so the words that we speak, the words that were established here, the words that come out of this church, God established this church, but the words that have come out and are coming out of this church are impacting people around the world today. So when we look at a small framework of what we see and base our opinion and our hope based on what we see, that is not the Word of God. Don't base your hope in 2020 on what you see. If you do, you're limiting what blessings you will experience. So the blessings we are experiencing today, you and I are experiencing today, are out of hope in God. That we're not hoping based on what we see, we're hoping based on who God is. How great, Miss Carolyn, how great God is. Amen. So God is great, and there is nothing He will not do. There is nothing that He cannot do. Hope is important. Your words produce hope, like your words can produce doubt. Let's choose to produce hope this year. Jeremiah 29:11, you know it well. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a what? Hope. We could stay here for a while. Hope is huge. Hope is huge. Be careful what you speak. One more thing. In hope, you will be surprised at the blessings come out of your words of hope. We need to release, number two, release our past. We've talked about this for the last few weeks. Release your past. Why? Because your past can limit what you do in the future. You say, well, past failures, I know, past sin. Yes, we know that, but even past successes can limit our future successes. How? Because we've experienced this great thing, so we want to refer back to that, and that's good. But we learn from our past, but our past does not dictate our future. Amen? So our past successes can actually help us to tweak our future successes. We can look at what we've done here and how great that was, but listening to the Word of God and knowing that it's by His Spirit, God, I can do even greater things. Didn't Jesus say that? That you'll do greater things than I did? Didn't Jesus say that? So Jesus didn't tell us that based on locking us into our past. He says that, yes, we've had great successes. Yes, I have done this, but even greater things you will do. Why? Because His Spirit lives within you. It's by His Spirit. We go forward and we expect Him to do even greater things. Well, isn't God good? We should rejoice in the past. We do rejoice in the past, but don't be limited by what's in the past. Successes and failures. So your past can limit you in your sins, in your past failures, in your, I failed, and I just don't think that I can go and release that thing from my life. Well, as you draw closer to God, you will see that as he has forgotten your past, you also can get past it. You can release that. As I talked a few weeks ago, we can't necessarily forget our past, but we can release it to where it doesn't hold us back. We can learn from our past, but it will not dictate our future. Amen? Thank God for that. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Releasing those things which are behind. And, A-N-D, he's not finished, there's no period. It says, and reaching forward to those things which are behind. No, ahead. We're going in that direction, right? So we release, forgetting those things which are behind, releasing those things which are behind, and going and reaching forward to those things ahead. Number three, establish new habits. 2020, I don't like to call it New Year's resolutions. 12 months ago, how many resolutions did we all make that was probably the last time we thought about it was a year ago? Develop new habits. How can we develop new habits? I believe that God is the God of new habits. Habits grounded in him and his word. What things do you want to see changed in your life? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't be conformed to this world. Don't say one thing, intend to do one thing, and just forget about it and go do something else. Let's not have our ways set in the things of the world. I'm not getting on anybody. I'm talking to us, every one of us. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. It's here. If we renew our mind, then everything else will fall into place. Our mind needs to be centered on God, focused on his spirit, focused on his might. Not by our might, but it's by his spirit, his power. By renewing our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you get the perfect will of God? There's the answer. Conform our mind, transform our mind into him. I love what the message says. Just make a note of this. The message, just listen to the words. Romans 12:2 says, "Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." It just puts it on English terms where we understand plainly what it says. Fix our attention on God. That's where it's all at. Fix our attention, our focus, our purpose. Whatever you want to do, don't think that you're limited by your own abilities. Whatever it is, if it concerns you, then God's got an answer for it. You say, "Well, that's so trivial, that's so minor, that's so small. I don't want to bother God with that small thing." Listen, your life, just connect your entire life to God. From the color shoes you wear to the house you buy, everything in between. Don't think that anything is too small for God. Don't think that anything is too minor for God. Now, I was being a little funny there, but what I'm saying is, get to a place to where everything in your life revolves around him. You've heard me say it. Pray one time a day, continuously, from morning to night. You don't ever have to say amen. "Lord, I thank you." I mean, there might be a time you're just walking through the grocery store and you just feel, "God, I just want to thank you that I'm able to buy this box of Fruit Loops. Thank you, God. Even the small things." Amen. 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 Well-formed, maturing in us. And so these principles really lead to one idea today. These principles lead to one biblical principle, and that is to make God first. Make God first. In 2020, if we will make God first in our life, we will see our year, our entire year, our life, our home, our family, our church, that much better. Make God first, our first priority. Make him our strength. Make him our goal. Make him all that we need in this life. He's put us here. Someone was saying the other day, "Lord, I'll be so glad when we get to heaven. We'll rejoice." And I am too. I look forward to going to heaven. And we're going to have it's just going to be nonstop. We don't even have to sleep and rest there. I mean, it's going to be, I can't even imagine. It's going to be awesome. But you know what? Why not practice here? Why not practice living in the presence of God like we're going to be living in the presence of God there? God likes to go to the grocery store with you. God likes to be in the car with you and travel, and God likes to love one of those grandbabies with you. God loves to play golf with you. God loves to fish with you. God loves to ride bicycles with you. God loves to walk around with you. Love what Pastor Lincoln said. He said he walks around and teaches his dog the Ten Commandments. Amen. Just speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. I love it. God wants to be part of every part of your life. He wants to be the center, the focus of it. We can make God first. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What tends to be your first thought? What tends to be your first action when you face a challenging situation? Is it to call somebody else? Is it to panic? Is it to worry? Or is it to call on God? Is God first? What tends to be our first go-to in a challenging situation? A bad phone call, whether it's from the doctor. Well, I'm not going to call him back because I don't want to hear the report. I know it's going to be bad news. Hope. Hope in God. You know what? If it is bad news, God has better news. He says, watch this. Watch what I can do. What tends to be our first thought, our first action? Is it panic? Or is it, God, I thank you that you got this? I don't know. It doesn't matter how tough it is. I know that you've got an answer. I know that you're going to bring an answer to this thing in my life. I'm not limiting the future based on the current circumstance because I serve a living God. What tends to be your first response when you receive an unexpected financial blessing? Oh boy, I didn't have to go there, did I? When you receive a financial blessing or a bonus, what tends to be your first response? Well, I'm going to buy that car. I'm going to buy that outfit. I'm going to do this. Or is it, God, I cannot wait to write that check. When that thing is in my account, I'm going to write that check for the first 10% right there. What is our first response? That's a good guideline to go by. Is God first in your life? I heard somebody say, ouch. What's your first? What's your first? There's such power in this. There's such power because as we make God our first, He blesses the rest so much more than what we ever could. When we don't make Him first, when we make Him down the line, we do some other things first, and then we get around to honoring Him, we tie the hands of God from blessing our life. It's not Him. Well, God, why didn't you bless me anyway? He wants to bless you, but there are certain principles that we must go by. The principles of God's word. We can do it ourselves. We can do it just the way we want to do it. He allows us to do that. But we tie the hands of God's blessing in our life if we don't do what He said do and how He said do it. He's got to be first. And I'll say this, God will not be second. If God is second, He is not part of your life. That's a strong word. The first words of the Bible in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God. In the very beginning, it was God. In Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I love what Miss Carolyn said and Miss Pam said earlier. He's the very breath we breathe. Brother Bob said, He's the very breath we breathe. If it wasn't for the breath of God, we wouldn't be breathing. If it wasn't for the blood of God, we wouldn't be alive. If it wasn't for Him sacrificing, we would not have life. Verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3 of Exodus 20, you shall have no other gods before me. God's got to be our priority and our first priority. How can we make God first? What can we do to give God first? Well, it's pretty simple. Give God the first of everything. Give God the first of everything in your life. What's the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning? How do you start your day? What's the first thing you do when you receive the paycheck? What's the first thing you do at New Year's Eve? 12 o'clock hits the clock, January 1st. What's the first thing you do? These are just ideas to help us realize, are we placing God first? We have the ability to place God first or not to place God. Strong word for 2020, but I believe that God is pulling us closer to Him if we want to experience His blessing, His favor, the fruit in our lives. It's all going to come by the Spirit of God. If we believe that, we make God first. In our time, time is important. In our family, in our schedule, our vacation, our resources, our money, every part of our life. We talk about tithe. We say, well, tithing is not a modern day commandment of God. Well, tithing is a lot more than just money. Tithing is everything in our life. Everything. Money and time. Resources. Everything in our life. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is whose? The Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Means the tithe, giving God the first of everything. Deuteronomy 14:23, you don't have this version. It's a living Bible version. It says this, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place. It'll do that. It's amazing. That wallet is somehow attached to my heart. If I pull that wallet, it attaches to the heart. It tells you just how important it is. I wasn't going to tell this, baby. I know you're thinking it. But I guess I'm going to tell it now. I could see your face. A few days ago, the timing of this is unreal, but a few days ago, I was driving, and we pulled through to get a little bite of something through the drive-thru, and I had pulled my wallet out and paid, and I put the credit card back in my wallet. Well, I was behind the wheel, instead of trying to lean up and put the wallet back in my pocket, I just stuck it under my left leg, so it was between me and the chair. And so we rode a little ways, and Jordan and Bailey happened to be with us at the time. And Jordan said, well, Dad, let me drive. You let me drive for a few minutes. And I said, okay, I'll sit in the back with Bailey. So pulled over and got out of the car and went around and got in the seat with her, and Jordan got in the driver's seat. We were going down the road, and I had got an email. I had my iPad, and I was doing some responding to some emails in the back, and there was something that needed to be paid, so I reached for my wallet to go ahead and put that in to get it done, get off my plate, and I reached for my wallet and said, baby, my wallet's up in the front seat there. I said, what? Where? I said, the front seat. She said, no. So she pulled over, and we searched that car from front to back, left to right. And the only thing I can think of is when I slid out, that wallet was stuck in my back leg and fell out on the ground. So we turned around and went back to where that happened. And it was not there. Driver's license, credit cards. So went inside and I said, has anybody seen a wallet? She said, where? I said, right in that parking spot right there. She said, no. I said, can I give you my name and number? She said, yeah. Well, it just so happened that there were some valuables in that wallet as well. And I just prayed. I said, God, I said, if it's your will for me to find that wallet, but Lord, if it's not, I pray that it'll bless somebody. And I found out right then just how tender my heart is toward my wallet. God spoke to me, and he says, I've got you. Trust me. So it was a good test for me. It's a good test. To know that wallet's floating out there somewhere with my name, and my address, and my ID, credit cards, the valuables in that wallet. Nice little leather wallet that Crystal had bought for me a year or so ago. So how valuable that was to me. Or how valuable is Jesus to me? What's more important? The contents in that wallet or God? Now, I haven't got it back. They denied ever seeing it. I said, let me see the manager. I want to see the camera tape down there. She said, well, I'm not allowed to show that. I said, well, I could call some authorities and we could see it together. And so I got a little angry. But the Lord's still in my heart. He said, Mike, I've got this. And so that's where I stand today. It truly is a test of our faith in God. Got in the car. They drove. I was real quiet, and I began to call credit card companies. Cancel this, cancel that. Make God the first of everything in your life. Make God first, even in tough situations. And then expect God's blessings. Expect God's blessings. Our motive should not be to receive from God. As a matter of fact, I believe Crystal read to me an article the other day. I forget who it was. This well-known artist. If I were to call his name, I don't remember his name, but if I were to call his name, you would know him. but he's well-known. But he actually gives the first of everything he has to the church, and he says that God has blessed him because of his obedience to do that. Now, I don't know whether he professes to be a Christian or not. We didn't get that far in the article. It didn't say. It's a secular article. They were just simply reciting what he had said. He said that he is successful financially because the first of everything he receives, he gives to the church, he gives to God. So what I'm saying is expect God's blessings, but that is not the motive. The motive is for God to be first in our life. And thank God, God has to deal with that. Thank God that's not my place to go to my desk and say, well, let me see. I'm going to decide whether he's really blessed or whether he's not, whether he goes to heaven or goes to... I don't have to worry about that. Thank God that's not on us. That's up to God. But I do know that we are, according to the Word of God, to give God the first of everything. Our life, our heart. You know what? If we give God our heart, then the string to that wallet will not be quite as important. If God has my heart, if I lose that wallet, God still has my heart. I know that he's going to take care of me. God has never failed me yet. In 53 years, God has never failed me. And he will not start today. My faith, amen. My faith and my hope is in God. And so we expect God's blessings. And I was thinking the other day, this was actually before I lost my wallet. I was thinking the other day about how often I get asked, Mike, how can you do all the things that you, all the responsibilities? Now, y'all, you know, you have a lot of responsibilities. But I tend to be asked often, at least weekly, how do you do the things that you do? And the Lord, when I thought about that the other day, I was talking about this and how we need to give our time to God. The Lord spoke to me and he says, you actually have more time because I bless you with more time than what you would have had you not given me your first. It was revelation. I'd never, ever thought of it like that. Never. So he says, when you give me the first, whatever you give me the first of, he will multiply. If you give him the first of your time, he'll multiply that time. So I actually have more than 24 hours in the day. So when I sleep at night and get up in the morning, it's like I've slept 10 hours instead of 7. I'm just saying. God, whatever we give God first of, the very first of, he multiplies it. In other words, you know how a garden works. You plant a seed of corn, and much more is produced than what you planted. If you had to plant all that you got, just to expect the same thing again, but it multiplies. Even more so with the Word of God. See, the principle of all that comes from God anyway. And so because we don't see it in a physical sense, it's harder for us to think about it. It's harder for us to receive it. But the same principle of planting a seed and then seeing the fruit of that multiply is the same principle as we give in God our time. Let me pitch this one to you. The same with our money. We give God the first of our money. He multiplies the rest. He can cause you to have much more than what you started with. You say, well, I can't live off of 90%. No, he's not asking you to live off 90%. He's going to take your 10% and make that 90, 200, 300, 400%. I'm living proof of that. That's not where I was going. What I was going to tell you was, even your thoughts, if you give God your thoughts, as I was saying a while ago, your first inclination is to worry about something. Say if you turn that around and say, Lord, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to praise you. So your thoughts, as you give your first thoughts to God, what does he do? He gives you bigger ideas. He gives you bigger faith to believe for bigger things. See, because our mind is an awesome thing that God made. And our mind is not limited. That's why he tells us, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Because when we're anxious, then the anxiety grows. Why? Because we're given our first thought to anxiety, and then that anxiety grows to a place to where it's not even lifelike. We have blown that thing so far out of proportion, it's not funny. We worried about that thing and worried about it. We go to sleep at night worried about it. We get up in the morning worried about it. You know what? 99% of that will never, ever happen. Why? Because we've blown it up. We've taken that little thought, that little worry, that little anxiety, and it's blown up. But if we go the other way, let me read a scripture for you in Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, what's true? The Word of God. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Well, Pastor Mike, you're being positive. I sure am. I sure am. If there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Because God has made our mind in such a way to when we meditate on these things, our thought process gets even bigger. Your dream can be even bigger if you funnel your thoughts in the way of God. You funnel your thought process, you funnel your reaction process rather than reacting in doubt, rather than reacting in fear. See, small fear, it just multiplies. Rather than fear, rather than doubt, rather than anxiety, rather than unbelief, rather than, oh God, what am I going to do, rather than panic, may it be faith, may it be just, may it be things pure, may it be things lovely, may it be things of good report. That's the Word of God. Meditate on these things. That's why we can expect God to bless. We follow his principles. We make him first. And we can expect. I'm not serving God so that he'll give me something great. That's like going to Santa Claus, sitting on his lap and saying, I want a new bicycle. And we expect that bicycle because we told Santa we wanted it. That's not realistic. That's not the Bible. See, God wants us to speak those things, but God also wants it to be a part of our life. To give him everything in our life. To give him the first of everything in our life. And he promises, as we do that, that he will multiply. That he'll make it grow bigger and bigger. Do you want God's blessings this year? The key is to making God first. Well, it can't be that simple, Pastor Mike. Unless the Word of God lies, it's that simple. And I can stand here today and tell you that my life definitely is a result of giving God first. Proverbs 3, 6 through 10 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled. Y'all see that word? So your barns, well, I know we don't have many barns these days, but where do you put your goods? Wherever you put your goods, wherever you put your fruit, wherever you put your blessings, it says there it will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Isn't that awesome? As Elder Roth was receiving the tithes and offerings a while ago, it's true, the finance committee meets once a year to set up a budget for the new year, and that was done for 2020 back in October, November, whenever we met. And whenever you're dealing with something that's not retail or something that you're charging a customer for, it requires faith. faith, God, that we hear your voice and we do this according to your plan. But this church has been blessed. This church has been blessed immensely. And people will look and say, how can it be so blessed to be so small? How can it have such an impact? But we know that God blesses as we give him the first. This church gives God first. This church honors God first. And there is no way that this church will not be blessed. This church is blessed. This church is abundantly blessed. Why? Because God's hand of favor, God's hand of blessing. Now, does that make the devil mad? It makes him mad as a hornet. But you know what? We don't fear what the devil can do. We know what God can do. Because God is greater. And the same for your life. He's made you more than a conqueror. To conquer great things in your life. See, we focus more on what the devil can do than what God is doing. Let's change our focus from the devil's activity to God's activity. Let's drop the fear and pick up the faith. Come on. Let's turn our back on what might be and turn our face on what will be. Somebody needs to hear this today. Don't get tracked down. Don't get discouraged on what the devil is doing. Get encouraged on what God wants to do. And expect God's blessings in 2020. Are you with me? Yes. Let's all stand together. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand together. Come on, Jordan. Praise God. I want to pray with you that when you leave here today, that your faith is not limited. Not even limited by the sky. Well, the sky is the limit. No, the sky is not the limit. You say, well, that's mighty high. It is mighty high, but it's not even limited by the sky. It is unlimited. There is nothing that will limit faith in God. And I want you to leave here today believing that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's by his spirit that you can do all things. And if you want to receive some of that faith today, we're going to take communion in just a moment. Receive communion. But before we do, if you would like to just come stand up here with me this morning, I want to pray that your faith will be unlimited today. That your expectation of God's blessing will be unlimited today. What are you believing for? What are you trusting God for? God wants to abundantly bless you today. Greater than what you can imagine. Greater than what you can think. Greater than what you could ever believe for in your natural, in your human sense. God wants to bless you abundantly today. Your dream is not scratching the surface of God's plan. Amen. Your dream doesn't even scratch the surface for God's plan for you. Oh, my Lord. We've got to get that in our spirit today. Lord, just raise your hands toward heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes this morning to see you. Lord, to know that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, Lord. There's no limits to your plan. There are no limits to your plan. There are no limits, Lord, to your hand. Your hand is not short. Your plan is not small, but your plan is big. Your faith is big. Your ability is big. Your spirit is big. God, it's much bigger than our doubt. It's much bigger than our problem. It's much bigger than our situation. Lord, I pray that our eyes will be off of those things and our eyes will be fixed on you, Lord Jesus. Fix our eyes on you, Lord. Fix our eyes on you, Lord, so that we can see you. See your possibilities. See your unlimited hands, Lord. God, we need to draw closer to you. God, there are great things to do in 2020. It's going to be a huge year, Lord, for the church. It's a huge year for our country. But Lord, I pray that we'll not be in a state of confusion. I pray that we'll not be in a state of doubt. I pray that we'll not be in a state, Lord, of thinking what may happen. But Lord, we will be in a state of faith. We'll be in a state of encouragement. We'll be in a state of believing for great and mighty things to happen through you, Lord, through your spirit today. In the name of Jesus. God, if there are any needs here today, God, represented, and I know that there are health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, future issues, worry, concern, anxiety. Lord, I pray that you will overcome that thing today. Lord, we just release it to you right now. We release it to you. We release all doubt. We release all fear in the name of Jesus. We release it. Just let it go. Open your hands to the Lord. Just release it right now. Release it. Let it go. Lord, I pray that you will fill our hearts with your Spirit. Fill our hearts with your faith. Fill our hearts with your love. And God, we will put you first, beginning this very moment. To put you first of our day. To put you the first in our home and our relationships. To put you first in our finances. To put you first in our thought process. To think on good things. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.